This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is! Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun on a Monday, and it is a wild Monday. I don't even know what's going to happen over the course of the next 3 hours on the show. Are we looking at World War III? What's going on with all this Iran, Israel stuff, the Biden administration, the concept of allies? So much we have to talk about tonight. You remember the whole liberal Aunt Peggy talk? Wow, was I a little too on the nose with that one? You're not going to believe a new study that came out about all that stuff. We'll dig into that. We'll dig into why Democrat women are stupid. All that, so much more coming up tonight on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show. Before we do any of that, I want to talk about something good. I want to talk about a bit of good news. And it's going to sound bad, but just stay with me. It is very, very, very good. And it should make you feel good. It should embolden you and remind you to keep going and keep fighting. Have you ever heard of a Reedy Patel? I think I said that name right. Reedy Patel is her name. Reedy Patel. You've never heard of this person. It doesn't matter. So who's Reedy Patel? Well, she's a street communist from California. This tubby little street communist. Antifa, the works, you name it, whatever the latest protest is for street communism, you can bank on Miss Patel standing there making a nuisance of herself, yelling, screaming, chanting, vandalizing something, probably pooping in the street and doing all the other things communists normally do. Now, I don't know anything about her, but let's just do a little brief background. How does one get to be someone like this here in America? Well, it can happen fairly easily. Because communist recruiting offices are everywhere. There's a very good chance you send your child to one. If you send your child into the wrong school, the wrong classroom, you will have an up-and-coming communist by the time they're gone. That first grade teacher starting to tell little Aiden, Jaden, and Braden that actually America's always been racist, and we're going to do a class project on the racism of white men. Your son is in a communist recruiting office. Hopefully Aiden, Jaden, and Braden make it out, but communism recruiting is everywhere. Maybe you send them off to a university, acting school. Look, it can happen a million places in this country, but they're everywhere. Okay. So this woman, she was groomed to be a communist activist. Her parents were undoubtedly either Democrats, this is most likely, either Democrats or apathetic. No, we'll send her off to school. I'm sure they're just teaching math and math class. Anyway, here's another $50,000 a year now that you graduated high school. You got to go to college, sweetheart. And And lo and behold, you have this young woman, appears to be in her 20s. Just stay with me. This is a, I'll get to the good news in a moment. Appears to be in her 20s. And now she's a street animal. That's what she is. She has found a religion. It's the demonic religion of communism. She will use anything she can use to burn down everything around her. This is now a committed religious zealot. And she showed up at a city council meeting in Bakersfield, California, had a whole bunch of stuff to say that we had to beep out. I'll just kind of hit the last part of it so you can get the general gist of how it went. You see, what she wanted, I should note, she wanted the city council to make some kind of anti-Israel declaration. Why would that matter for the city of Bakersfield? No one knows. But remember, the communist demands compliance at all times. She was upset the city council didn't, you know, kill all the Jews or whatever it is she wants done. And this is how she finished her speech to the mayor and city council.
You guys want to criminalize us with metal detectors? We'll see you at your house. We'll murder you.
You heard that right. I'll play it for you again just in case you're thinking, what did she just say? We'll murder you?
You guys want to criminalize us with metal detectors? We'll see you at your house. We'll murder you.
No. Have you ever been around a child whose father is maybe rough around the edges, maybe a hardcore military type, or maybe a biker? You know any bikers? I know a few bikers. In fact, I know some absolute criminal bikers. You know any of these types? Legitimate, just tough guys. That's what they are. They like to fight, drink, and do things. That's just what they are, just tough guys. Have you ever known one of their children? Have you ever been around a child who kind of talks a little tough like dad talks, only he's a child? I'm actually thinking specifically about this biker friend I have. He's 40s. He's got to be close to my age, 44, 45, I would say. He's got a young boy. His boy's 7 years old. Just adorable little boy, 7 years old. But I've personally witnessed him go up to a child who was 15 at a party we were at. It was at a big Marine get-together at a party we were at. And the seven-year-old's looking at him, and he says, "Are you talking to me? Who do you think you're talking to like that?" And the 15-year-old could eat this seven-year-old. So why does he talk like that? Well, he's learned how to talk like biker dad. You see, biker dad will hit you so hard, he'll kill you. He's learned how to talk like that because that's how dad talks. But what he hasn't done, what he hasn't done is done 8 years in the Marines like dad did. What he hasn't done is be a gold gloves boxer like dad was when dad was 18 years old. What he hasn't done is been in about 8,000 bar fights since then. Why? Because he's just seven. So he knows how to talk like dad. The problem is he doesn't know how to walk like dad. You want some good news? The American communist knows how to talk like Mao. Mao wrote everything down. All the books, all the speeches, all his stupid sayings. The American communist knows how to talk like Pol Pot, Bill Ayers, Frank Marshall Davis. Pick your communist influencer. It doesn't matter who they are. It could be anybody. Their college professor. They know how to talk like this. They've seen all the videos. They've been to the protests. They know how to talk.
You guys want to criminalize us with metal detectors? We'll see you at your house. We'll murder you.
You want to try to oppose us? We'll murder you at your house. Later on, I believe it was the exact same night. If not, it was the next night. There's a video of this. It wouldn't be good for radio, so I won't play it for you. There's a video up of a bunch of cops swarming this lady. Where was she? She was wearing some cute little summer dress and some little high heels. And she was out with her friends on a Friday or Saturday night at the bars. And the cops surrounded her to arrest her. And the look of total shock and fear on her face when she was being slammed against a wall and handcuffed by the police and informed that she was being charged with multiple felonies and is now staring at state prison time. She looked like she wanted to cry. And then there's also video out there of this young lady in a courtroom being told in the courtroom, you're facing felonies, lots of them. I hope mom and dad are going to keep the canteen account well stocked because you're going to California State Prison, young lady. And she sat there sobbing. Why? Because this lady, along with 99% of the other American communists, they know how to talk like dad. But they don't know how to walk like dad. The American communist is soft. Oh, don't get me wrong. I'm not downplaying the threat. He's everywhere. He's in positions of power. He's all over the streets. He's vandalizing this. He's shutting down the Golden Gate Bridge. He's looting and murdering and raping. And I know. I talk all the time about the communist threat. But what you must understand, and this should embolden you, is we are dealing with a paper tiger here in America that resembles nothing like what other people have had to fight in the past when they opposed communism. When you were Chiang Kai-shek in China and your nationalists were taking on Mao Zedong and his communists. Oh, Mao was a murderous dirtball, but Mao was an old school jungle fighter from way back. In fact, American heroes like Marine Raider Evans Carlson trained under Mao in jungle fighting before World War II. Stalin, as big of a dirtball idiot as he was, he spent his youth stabbing and shooting people and robbing banks. A tough guy from way back. The old school communists from Spain to the Soviet Union to South America to Cuba. They were, in the very least, fighters, revolutionaries, used to hardship and violence and things like that. The American communist is soft. Pillow soft. We'll kill you! What? I'm being arrested! Mommy, save me! If the right would simply find its you-know-what and stand up to these people, you would find out you're fighting against painted rust. It's why I tell you to challenge liberal Aunt Peggy at Thanksgiving. Instead of sitting there letting her shout, no more. Challenge her. Watch her fade. Watch her crumble. The American communist has been educated in America's pillow soft education system, on America's pillow soft university campuses, and in America's pillow soft cities where they've been given cover their entire lives. A brief little push, just the tiniest nudge back, and the American communist will topple over because the American communist is soft. Let's oppose him, shall we? All right, let's get on to World War III and so many other things before we do that. You're not soft. You're in pain, but you're not soft. And you're in pain. Why? Well, these bodies don't last forever, do they? That's just the way it is. I'm looking at my hands right now. If you're watching on simulcast, you see me. I'm looking at my hands. I'm looking at my hands right now because now, it's not often, but every now and then, if I'm gripping something a long time, a gun at the range or something like that, or shovel something, my hands will kind of get stiff. And every now and then they're sore the next day. Why does that happen? It's because you're 42. Aches and pains happen. Take Relief Factor every day. Be free of that pain without using drugs, without big pharma stuff. Relief Factor is four drug-free, all-natural ingredients. You take it every single day, and what it does, it helps support your body's natural response to inflammation. Whatever your pain, neck, back, joints, muscles, call them. 3-week quick start kits, $19.95. 1-800, the number 4, Relief. Or go to relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Reminding you, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Love, hate, death threats, ask Dr. Jesse questions. All right, let's deal with the big story out there. I was sitting, was it yesterday or the day before? I was sitting around the house messing with some things. And I actually wasn't paying attention to the news. I had been busy. I'd been hanging out with the buddies and talking to the wife. And we just sat down, had some lunch. I get a text from my sister saying, is World War III starting? And I said, well, that's not good. I'm not sure. So I did some digging and I found out what was going on. Okay, so let's just get everyone caught up to where we are. First, before all this Iran drone strike thing, before that, let's understand what's going on so we're just knowledgeable about some things about the region. Okay, so you have Israel, right? You got Israel. Picture Israel there. You even make a little drawing if it helps you. On the bottom of it, the southern part, Palestine, right? So that's where Hamas is. So you can put a little circle underneath there and put Hamas. Above Israel, Lebanon. That's where Hezbollah is. Lebanon. Remember, I told you, if you want some background on how and why Lebanon turned into a complete disaster like that, there's that good documentary, The Ghost of Beirut, Ghosts of Beirut. I believe it's on Netflix. You can watch. It's a series. I don't know that it's appropriate for kids, but it's all true. It's all based on a true story about a lot of the terrorist background stuff there. Now, we're not going to go that far back to go to figure all that out, but you should understand this. When Hezbollah, when they were on the come up in Lebanon, they were doing a bunch of fighting in Lebanon. They were blowing stuff up, torturing, killing, doing all the things those dirtball terrorists do. They were part of Iran then too. And they actually go over this in the show. You could watch them. The head of Hezbollah, God rest his soul, not, but the head of Hezbollah was sitting down with Soleimani. Soleimani's characters in the show. You remember Soleimani? He's the guy we took out with a sword missile. I'm not making that up. It's a sword missile. That was when Trump was president. Remember, we took out that Iranian general, Soleimani. You know that we took him out with a non-explosive missile, right? We have missiles that shoot at targets, and right before they hit the target, all these swords pop out the side. It's to limit collateral damage that comes with explosives. So if you know where this general is and you can hit his car, you shoot him with a sword missile and you just gotta dice him. It's really cool. Anyway, Soleimani, the guy we killed under Trump, he was knee-deep involved in a bunch of different things. One, he was training and funding Hezbollah in Lebanon. Two, you remember in Iraq, I'm just doing it to make sure we all have a background on a lot of this stuff, and I'm not the world's expert on it, just making sure everyone has a good base of knowledge. In Iraq, just pause for a moment. Remember I told you I was there for the Iraq invasion? The very, very beginning of it. Well, whenever I tell people that, people will say to me, oh gosh, that had to be the worst of the fighting. Oh my gosh, you had to be in the thick of it. And I'm certainly not putting down anything we did there, but that is not the worst it got in Iraq. The very beginning was not the worst. It actually got worse than that a little while later. Why did it get worse than that? Why, if you remember back, why were there always stories about IED here, IED there, 10 troops killed in an IED, IED blew this up, IED blew that up? Well, what happened was we had a bunch of foreigners, a bunch of non-Iraqis, even though some Iraqis were involved, who started to pour into Iraq, and they had not only the materials, they had the knowledge to create these IEDs and things that went on to blow up Americans. You remember all this now, right? In the beginning, it actually wasn't as bad as it got. It actually got worse after I left. Now, where did those people who were blowing up our troops in Iraq, where did they acquire the knowledge and weaponry? Soleimani, Iran. Soleimani with Iran was the one training and arming those people who were blowing our men and women up in Iraq. So Trump figures out where he is, I'm sure with the help of Israeli intelligence, figures out where he is, fires a missile bomb at him. No more Soleimani. His family had to bury a finger, I believe. It just was not much left of him. Okay, so that was Iran. That's kind of how it lays out in the region. Israel, then Hamas to the south, Hezbollah to the north. Now, Hezbollah and Hamas, they are very much separate groups. Hezbollah is much more legitimate,
much better led, much better trained, much better funded in every possible way. Hezbollah, honestly, as much as I despise those terrorist pieces of trash, they represent more of a modern army than a terrorist group. Hamas is more what you'd think of when you think of terrorist group. The idiot who can hardly read, who straps a bomb to himself and goes and blows up a kindergarten because he thinks it's going to get him 72 virgins. That's that kind of, that way of thinking. Now, Iran funds Hezbollah, Iran funds Hamas. So where are we now? Why would Iran get involved? Why shoot a bunch of missiles? What do they intend to do with the missiles? Are we going to go into World War III? What's the Biden administration doing and why are they doing it? I realize there's so much of this we have to get laid out here that it's the story dominating everyone's mind. So we're going to talk about that. We'll talk about it in a little more detail in just a moment. Before we do that, let's do this. You need a new cell phone service. Verizon, AT&T, T-Mobile. These are bad companies. It's not that the service they provide is bad, although it may or may not be. It's that the people are bad. The people who run these companies are poisoning America culturally. You can switch to Pure Talk. You will pay less for your cell phone for the exact same cell phone service. They're on the same 5G network, and you can pay even less. There are no reasons, zero, not to switch to Pure Talk. Pure Talk is a patriotic company that loves you. They make switching easy. You keep your phone, you keep your number, you pay less. You won't have to pay the commies more. What? Why wouldn't you switch? Pick up your phone, dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. The time to switch to Pure Talk is right now. So go, switch.
Truth. Attitude. Jesse Kelly.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. We break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Remember, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. Medal of Honor Monday coming up about a half hour from now. Let's get back to where we're at, what's going on in the world, why is it happening. We're just kind of doing a brief explainer on the Israel-Hamas-Hezbollah situation. Okay, so Israel's there, Hamas to the south, Hezbollah to the north. All right. Both of them funded by Iran. Then we've got Iran. Iran's not right beside Israel, but Iran sees itself and wants the Islamic world to see it as being their protector. Historically, that's been a very common thing in the history of Islam, meaning there's been a powerful king or nation state who has kind of overseen the protection of Islam. Now, this goes back to, look, Genghis Khan, you know, Genghis Khan almost wiped out Islam. And it wasn't because he was anti-Muslim. The Shah in that area, who had a major Muslim kingdom back then, really made Genghis Khan angry, extremely angry, right? I'm putting it mild when I say made him angry. And he just declared war on them and just sacked city after city after city. The Christians in Europe, while Genghis Khan was doing this, they thought Genghis Khan was probably one of the good guys because he was wiping out the religion that they thought was their enemy. But again, what was this empire? The Khwarizmian Empire? They were the overseers of the Islamic world. That's how they saw themselves. The Ottoman Empire, they 1000% took on that mantle. In fact, when we were trying to break up the Ottoman Empire in World War One, because remember the Ottomans, they were fighting with the Germans and Austria-Hungary and things like that. The Ottomans joined with them. And so we, mainly the British, but us too, we wanted to cause them problems. How do we do that? Well, the Brits especially, they would go into these Islamic areas and they'd say, hey, this Ottoman Empire, look, they're not even good Muslims. They don't even protect your religion. So the Ottoman Empire was the protectorate of the Islamic world. And then the bloom kind of fell off that rose and that empire fell. And now it's just a small country. Well, not small, but a country named Turkey, right? Iran has seen itself as taking over that mantle, or wants to be seen, I should say, as having taken over that mantle. The protectors of the Islamic world. We are the ones who will care for all the Muslims. Now, there's this huge rift in Islam between Shia and Sunni. And, you know, so they practice a completely different type of Islam in, say, Saudi Arabia than they do in Iran. Look, when I was in Iraq, speaking about Iraq, it was Sunnis and Shiites. It was same thing. And that conflict was bad. It's not to the outside looking into the naked eye. If you're not a Muslim, I'm not a Muslim. But if you're not a Muslim, it looks like, well, I mean, these are minor differences. We're dealing with the relatives of Muhammad. What's the big deal? We're all Muslims here. Not to them, it ain't. Not to them, it ain't no small deal. It's a really big deal. So anyway, Iran sees itself as that. And what's happened was October 7th, you already know Hamas raided Israel, killed, raped, did a bunch of butchering, did, you know, what Hamas does. Israel has responded. And they have responded with a level of force that, oddly, it doesn't appear that Hamas saw coming. It's very odd to me. You'd think you could launch a raid of that size without the response that came, but that's clearly what they thought. Israel invaded, and Israel has said there's not going to be any more Hamas. And they are going house to house, tunnel to tunnel, tunnel to tunnel. They're killing them. They're arresting them. They're finishing them off. Well, what's happening is the Islamic world, not just in Palestine, not just the Hamas types, but the other, especially radical Islamic types in the region, Hezbollah and others, they're looking at Iran saying, are you going to do something? Hey, they're wiping out Hamas. Hey, what are you doing? Are you going to do something? Now, if Chris hires me to be his bodyguard and I'm walking with Chris out to the parking lot to get into whatever bargain vehicle you know Chris probably drives, and some guy comes up and he says, hey, I'm going to punch you in the face and take your wallet. And Chris looks at me and says, are you going to do something? Well, as the bodyguard, I understand I have a choice to make. I can step in then and do something, and I may get hurt if I do it, but I'll probably get to keep my job as a bodyguard because I'm going to step in and do something. Or I cannot do anything. Hey, Chris, best of luck. Anyway, I got to go back inside. I'll be safe. I won't be hurt. But Chris is probably going to fire me as his bodyguard, right? Well, Iran can't afford to sit there and allow Hamas to be wiped out by Israel without responding. They have to do something. had to do something. And that brings us to where we are now. What is that something? How did that something get decided on? And this is potentially a world-changing deal, how all this has shaken out. Well, let's figure this out first. Embarrassingly, I just can't, I can't believe what's happening as Rome is burning. Joe Biden was on the beach when Iran launched, these were medium-range ballistic missiles. You understand that? We're not talking them throwing some M80 firecrackers over the wall on the Israeli border. They're launching medium-range ballistic missiles. And just so you understand something, part of the reason they knew about drones versus missiles versus this, flight times differ depending on what you're launching. If Iran launches, let's say, drones from Iran to Israel, those are going to take 8 hours, 10 hours to get there. A cruise missile is not going to take 8 to 10 hours to get there. So that's the reason you got different sides. But all right, Joe Biden's on the beach. Joe Biden knew beforehand that a major attack on Israel was imminent, and Joe Biden went to the beach. On top of everything else, the communism and the dementia and everything else that we have to live with, just the laziness, the naivete, the lack of care. All these people act like they're just in some kind of TV show that doesn't matter at all. If you know a nation is going to launch a major attack on one of your allies, it's all hands on deck in the Situation Room. And let's pause on this for a moment, because let's deal with this ally thing, because I believe that there's a chance this is going to change in the future. I don't know how likely this is, but I could totally see this coming. Israel officially is our ally. Maybe you live and die for Israel, love Israel. That would probably be, I would guess, 75% of the people listening. Maybe you hate Israel. We get those two emails. Ah, it's Jewish producer Chris and the Jewish weather balloons or something or whatever. Whatever. Maybe you hate Israel. But listen, what I'm saying doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What your thoughts on the matter don't matter. Officially, the United States of America is officially an ally with Israel. It's an official thing. It's been signed. Whether you like that or not, or whether I like that or not, is inconsequential. We are allies. If we got invaded tomorrow, if China launched an invasion on our shores tomorrow, Israel would send troops. They would. They would have to, because they're signed on as an ally. Now, allegiances like that have gotten us in a lot of pickles as a world. But that is the state where we're at. Okay, so Israel is an ally. That brings us back to what Joe Biden was doing. You're on the beach when an ally is about to be hit with missiles? And the story was bad there. And somehow, as it went along, at least from our perspective, it got worse. Well, talk about that in detail in a moment. Before we get to that, I'm going to play something for you. I'm going to go over it later on in the show, but you want some motivation to be pro-life? This is what we're up against.
I like to think of my uterus as the deep end of a pool at a water park. No children allowed, but if they end up there, they die.
That's a real person. These are the people we fight against. Now, we can't lock that person up or anything like that. But what we can do is fight as hard to save the babies as people like that fight to kill them. That's what preborn is. How do we fight back? How do I fight back? I get that email all the time. Jesse, how do I fight back? I want to fight back. What do I do? I've got to do something. Well, preborn's right there. Do you want to be pro-life? Not just anti-abortion, not just voting for this guy, actually be pro-life. Give $28 to preborn, buy a young woman an ultrasound. Just once. Do it one time. Save a life. When you buy that young woman an ultrasound, you're saving a life. $28. Go to preborn.com/Jesse. preborn.com/Jesse. Sponsored by Preborn.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, only like 10 minutes away from Medal of Honor Monday. Just kind of going over the whole Israel-Iran thing, what we're dealing with here. It's a big old friggin' mess. Okay, so Iran ends up responding. They're launching cruise missiles. They're launching drone strikes. They're launching this. They're launching that. And everything gets blocked. Everything. Now, I'm going to set that particular part aside for a moment. Where are we today? Well, today, what we know is the Biden administration did two things. They have told the Israelis not to respond. We know that. They've essentially said, well, here's
so did he warn Israel not to respond? Did he say take the win, as has been reported?
I think the president was, again, very clear with Prime Minister Netanyahu about the success that they enjoyed last night and the impact that that success ought to have.
What are they doing? What's happening? The Biden administration, they told Netanyahu, they told Israel, because Israel convened the war council right away. They told Netanyahu, don't respond at all. Don't respond at all. Nope, you already won. You blocked them all. Don't respond at all. That's what they said. Now, that's also being reported today. And look, I can't confirm this, but I will say it's been reported by Reuters, by the Jerusalem Post. This is not something I just pulled out of my head. You know, it's not something I heard from a guy who heard from a guy. A lot of news organizations are reporting this, that the Biden administration, that they were given a heads up ahead of time that Iran wanted to attack Israel, and that they essentially greenlit the whole thing, that they okayed it, provided Iran didn't go too far. All right. So let's just assume that these things being reported are true. And that's quite an assumption in the world of lies like you and I live in. So Iran is sitting there. Israel's beating the crap out of Hamas. Iran feels obligated to respond. But Iran, they're in a dangerous situation domestically. Why? The mullahs are not popular. They're having all these protests that are getting more and more widespread in their country. Remember, Iran, it's not full. My voice cracked. It's not full of a bunch of jihadis who want to blow you up. Yes, there are plenty of them in Iran. But Iran has a huge population full of people who want freedom, who actually like the West. Iran is an interesting place, and the mullahs are having to keep these people under control. So they need to pop Israel in the mouth. But what they can't afford to do is have Israel pop back. Because if Israel pops back, they're going to hit something hard that Iran values. It's not going to be some token strike. Hey, we took out a fishing boat in the harbor. Don't make us come back. Israel's going to take out something that matters to you. Like a way you produce oil or something like that. Israel doesn't play games with that stuff. Iran can't afford that, because you can't afford massive economic dislocation at a time when you're already having trouble controlling your citizens. That's a problem for Iran. So what they did was, through back channels, direct channels, we don't know all the details, Iran got a hold of America and said, hey, we need to attack Israel. And America said, oh, okay, well, that's fine. Just, hey, nothing major. We don't want a bunch of people to die, but nothing major. But yeah, go ahead. Iran does it. Israel and America's missiles brought them down. America's didn't do much. You should know only about 5%, from what I understand. We're never going to get an exact number on this, but a tiny percentage, 5 to 10% of the missiles that were shot down by America. Israel's Iron Dome and all kinds of missile defense systems, they shot that stuff down for the most part. And now the Biden administration steps in, immediately calls Netanyahu and says, hey, congratulations. The win was the defense.
Did he warn Israel not to respond? Did he say take the win, as has been reported?
I think the president was, again, very clear with Prime Minister Netanyahu about the success that they enjoyed last night and the impact that that success ought to have.
Okay, so we're just analyzing this. We're taking the emotion out of it. Who benefits? Who benefited from all this? Well, Iran did. The Iranian regime did. They looked good.
for their people. Their people needed to see missiles in the sky. Their people needed to see that. And now Iran gets to go back to their people and said, we tried to kill those Jewish dogs, but America stepped in. Death to America. And then their people can be all, yeah, death to America. So Iran actually, they came out fine. Who else came out fine? What does the Biden administration want? We've talked about this a million times. What do they actually want when it comes to Israel and Palestine, Hamas? What do they want? They want it to go away. They don't give a crap. They don't give a crap who wins, loses. Blah, blah, blah. They don't think in terms like that. They think in terms of domestic policy. They need this to go away. So they win. But who doesn't? Israel. Israel as a nation. They have to respond. You as an American citizen. Even if we didn't have this big, powerful, juggernaut country. If we were a small country. If you were a citizen of El Salvador, and whatever country launched missiles at you, you would demand your government respond in some way. It wouldn't be enough to just block the missiles. Part of the reason to be a citizen is you would demand a response. So America's politicians, it worked out well for them. Iran's politicians, it worked out well for them. Israel's politicians have their hands cuffed. I believe, and there would have to be a lot to happen to make this a reality, but I believe we are at the very beginning of allies changing on the world stage. I believe that Israel will not be an official American ally 50 years from now. I see that changing. Allies being one to someone else, having someone else be one to you, it can oftentimes be a negative and not a positive. And this world is changing. And I just see things changing fast on the world stage. And we're going to be alive for it to watch it. So anyway, Chris said, does Israel benefit that much? You know what? We will discuss that. After we do Medal of Honor money, we'll go back and discuss this ally thing. Who benefits? Why that's good? Why that's bad? We have a lot more to get to. Hang on.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.